that prayer there, there was a confession regarding sin. And it might be in your own life that the Holy Spirit is working upon you and within you, convicting you of something that you know is wrong. And maybe you have made excuses for maybe your entire life, as far back as you can remember. Maybe you've made excuses and said, well, it doesn't matter or whatever. Friends, come before Jesus. Lay that sin before him. Ask for forgiveness. We sang a line in that last song that strongholds are still being broken, and you may feel as though this sin is a stronghold over your life. Come before Jesus that it may be broken. That stronghold over your life may be broken, and that you will know that there is forgiveness in and through Jesus Christ alone. Well, friends, we're going to continue in our time of worship through the receiving of God's word. So would you please turn with me to Matthew chapter 6, Matthew chapter 6. And we're going to be reading from verse 24. Now, Matthew chapter 6 is part of three chapters, 5, 6, and 7, that happen at what is referred to as the Sermon on the Mount. This is, if you like, a summary of Christ's teachings. There were other times where he taught. There were other places where he taught. But the Sermon on the Mount is this summary, if you like, of Christ's teachings. Indeed, I have heard it said many times, and I believe it to be true, that if the world were to live by this standard, by the Sermon on the Mount standard, the world would be completely transformed. Because we have things like the beautiful attitudes. We have things like how we are to treat one another. How we are to act in terms of marriage and in terms of finances and in terms of daily provision. There is all sorts of wonderful teaching within the Sermon on the Mount. And outside of this service, I encourage you, read the Sermon on the Mount this week if you can. Read the Sermon on the Mount, chapters 5, 6, and 7, and ask, what would the world look like if we lived by God's standard? Yeah. So in Matthew chapter 6, reading from verse 24, verse 24 is the last verse in relation to laying up treasures in heaven. You may know that very famous phrase, store for yourself treasures in heaven, where moth cannot devour and rust cannot take away. So, but the end of this, I wanted to include it in the last verse. Being included in the next part of the passage. The reason being, of course, that we must remember this is part of a teaching. This wasn't just individual segments where Jesus goes, "I've taught about this, and now for something else." This was all part of Christ's teachings that they all unite together. And so I wanted to be able to include this verse because it actually leads into what we read in verse 25. So Matthew chapter 6, reading from verse 24. "No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Well, may the Lord bless the reading of his word. Before we look deeper into this text, let us pray. Father, I thank you for sending your son, Jesus. I thank you that you sent him to earth to live the perfect life that we cannot live. And Lord, I thank you that through Jesus, we have this teaching that is available for us today. Father, would you help us to live more of the biblical standard? Would you help us to serve you, not to seek after the things of the world? We pray this in and through the mighty, precious name of Jesus. Amen. Well, friends, I had the honor of being of preaching before you. I spoke about some of the things that are happening in the world and how the rivers are running low, and there was worries about this and fear of this and concerns. And at the time, I thought that was the end of that preach, as it were. But during my preparation, I felt that again there is throughout the world there is worry once again. I'm not sure if it ever went away, really. That there is worry. And it could be that every single time there is a preacher in this pulpit, we could say, well, the things that happened last week. And it feels like that every single week. The things that have happened this week. The difficulties, the challenges, the changes that have happened. Pastor Ian mentioned earlier about the things that seem to have changed throughout this week, and that we cannot rely on those things. And that ultimately is the central point of this message today, that we cannot put our trust in earthly things. We can only put our trust in Almighty God. We can only put our trust in Jesus. If we were to title today's sermon, it would be about do not worry. And there is great worry throughout this world today, whether it be about international matters, whether it be about energy crises, whether it be about how much money is left in the bank at the end of the month, whether it be about food concerns overwhelming the NHS, even who is leading the country next week. There is great worry about all sorts of different things, worries, concerns. And friends, this is what wraps people up, isn't it? It is something that sometimes consumes an entire person's life, is regarding the future and what will be. Sometimes when we might turn on the news, all we hear is just a person pouring out their heart on national television saying they are worried, they are concerned, they are anxious. And yet, the teaching that we have here from Jesus is do not worry. Do not be anxious. And on one hand, it seems so easy to say those four words, do not be anxious. Three words, do not worry. It feels really easy to say those things. And then on the other hand, though, we can say, yeah, but Jesus, look at my bank account. Look at the bills that are coming through, the letters that I'm receiving, the emails that I'm receiving. It might even be that there's knocks at the door from people that are demanding something from you. And it might be you say, well, it's easy to say, do not worry. And yet, look at my circumstances. Look at the circumstances of our nation. Look at the circumstances of my neighbors. How can we say, do not worry, when ultimately we're surrounded by worry and concerns of life? Jesus here gives us the teaching. He gives us two clear examples that he looks toward the birds of the air and the lilies of the field. The birds of the air that every single day are fed. They're able to get the grubs that they need, or they're able to get the seeds from the tree, whatever it is that they're going to eat that day. they go out and get it. And that's something that is important. Their bellies aren't always full just because they've woken up. They still need to go and work, as it were. They still need to go and get that food, but it is there for their taking. God, every single day, provides enough worms, enough bugs, enough seeds, whatever it is that those birds are going to eat. They don't have to worry about such things. And so the question that Jesus asks of the people that are listening, and also asks of us today as well, is, are you worth more than sparrows? Are you worth more than birds of the field? And of course, the answer is yes. Of course, we're worth more than those. God has created the birds. Yes, he's created all the creatures of the world. But we, whereas those things were made with God's words, we have been made with God's hands. That Adam and Eve, that were formed from the clay, they have the fingerprints of God on them. And that has been passed through to us, that we are made in the image of God. We are the children of God. Therefore, God cares about us. Thinking then also about the lilies of the field. And I'm sure there have been times where we've gone out into a garden or we've gone out walking somewhere. Yesterday, Sarah and I were out walking and there was some lavender that was out on the edge of a road. And she immediately grabbed some of it and started smelling it, and it looked beautiful. And there are all these, and again, there might be times where you've walked into a garden and there's some beautiful flowers that are there. They don't toil, they don't spin, they don't make garments for themselves, and yet we would call them beautiful. God has made those and designs those and makes them grow. In one way, we might look at the daisies of the field, the dandelions of the garden, and we think that they all look alike, and yet maybe God has made each one of them. By his command, each one of those grows and is unique in some way, even if we're not able to ultimately perceive it. The same with us, that we, by his hand, have all sorts of unique attributes, all different skills and abilities, and yet God cares for each and every single one of us. The lilies of the field, the grass of the field, it's here today, it says here, thrown into the oven, it's used in some other way, perhaps. It withers away over some days. But it is considered beautiful. What Jesus says here is that they are more beautiful than Solomon. Solomon in all of his glory. And if you read the Chronicles, if you read in Kings, the description of the riches that Solomon had is incredible. That there would be boats that would go out and they would bring back peacocks, it says, from exotic lands. That there would be all sorts of different gold, like all sorts of different precious metals, gold and silver and precious stones that were all brought in. And yet, Jesus says, the lilies of the field were more beautiful than Solomon in that way. And so the question again, does God care about you? Yes, he does. Now, we must be careful with such sayings of just simply saying, don't worry, do not be anxious, because we must remember the audience that was receiving this at the time. The audience here was incredibly poor, especially by our standards. We live an incredible life of luxury, however much money we've got in the bank account, incredible luxury compared to the biblical example that we have here. Of the people that would have been listening at the time. That to say to these people, don't be worried, just think about today, just think about your daily bread, just think about what you have, don't build up resources for yourself. Well, they might think, well, I need to think about tomorrow, right? I do need to think about that. Perhaps within your own home, you've got a menu for this week. You've got thoughts of what you are going to be eating. Maybe you've got a calendar with a plan of what you're going to do. You're thinking in some way about the future. So then, is Jesus saying here that we're just to throw away the menu, throw away our calendar, just only live by today? Remember, this is not saying be careless with what you have. It's not saying be reckless with the resources that you have. Rather, what is it saying? It's saying that we must fix our eyes upon him. Yeah. That we mustn't put our trust in money. We mustn't build up huge resources just for ourselves. We must be willing to bless other people when we can. And that, as a church, I'm really glad that we're able to do that through things like Market Cafe, where we've got a warm, friendly environment where people can come in. This house, of course, on a Sunday morning, where we can be together and have fellowship with one another. Through the food bank, through our donations to food bank as well, we're able to bless other people. Maybe there are people in this congregation that you know you are able in some way to bless and help one another. And in turn, I also trust that other people will bless you in return. But we must remember that this is not about building up storehouses for ourselves. Some of you may remember that parable that Jesus gave where the farmer said, well, I've had a bumper crop this year. I'm going to tear down my barns, build bigger barns, and then I'm just going to relax for the rest of my life. That farmer there was condemned because of his attitude in storing up things for himself. Remember that first verse that we read, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. And the reason, to emphasize this point again, the reason why we read that verse first before we went into the passage of do not be anxious is because sometimes we are fixated on money. Our world, our economy runs on money. And people are saying things like, well, I need more money. I need bigger barns, as it were, more storehouses to be able to do things. People will fix their eyes on anything other than Jesus. So they will fix their eyes upon money and say, if only I had more money, things would be a lot easier. They might fix their eyes on the political scene and say, well, if only we had a leader that is able to help us, or how wonderful it would be if we had a particular leader in charge. It might be that they say, well, if only we were able to have access to this, that, and the other. But friends, we must not be like the world. We must not fix our eyes upon money. We must not fix our eyes upon political power. We must fix our eyes upon Jesus. He is the author and perfecter of our faith, and therefore we must fix our eyes upon him. We must not be, like Jesus says, like the Gentiles who run after worldly things, who are fixated on the things of the world. We rather, must we do? What is the instruction that Jesus gives to us? We must seek first what? The kingdom of God. That, friends, is what we must seek first. The kingdom of God and his righteousness. Then all these things will be added to us. Friends, following Jesus doesn't mean that we're going to have £1 million in our bank account. That's not the way it works. Otherwise, we'd have a lot more Christians, wouldn't we? If that's just the way that it worked. Yeah, I'm a Christian. Yeah, great. There's my money. That's not the way that it works. Well, yeah. But friends, what do we read in Scripture? We read, remember, the Lord's Prayer, that most famous of prayers that I'm sure most of us in this room have memorized. What is it that Jesus says we need? Our daily bread. Notice that, the daily bread. It isn't give us massive storehouses, make sure that our cupboards are full with the most exotic of foods. It is simply bread, that simple staple. Give us our daily bread, that we may be satisfied with daily bread. Of course, it's wonderful when we're blessed with other things, of course, but may we be satisfied with daily bread. Likewise, when we read in Philippians chapter 4, Philippians chapter 4, verse 19, what is it that we read? My God shall supply every need of yours according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. My God will supply all your needs, not necessarily all of our wants, not all of our worldly desires. He gives us what we need. And so may we fix our eyes upon him, that we get what we need from him, that our satisfaction is in him, not in the things of the world, not in power, not in money, but in Christ. We might remember as well that that quotation from a psalm, Psalm chapter 20, that some trust in chariots, some trust in horses, but we will trust in the name of our God. Friends, we might want to change that today. Some may trust in money, some may trust in power, but we will trust in the name of the Lord our God. Friends, that must be what we do today, that we place our trust in him and him alone. Now, it might be, friends, that there is someone here, it might be that there is someone listening online, and you have never placed your trust in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. It might be that you've been pursuing the things of the world, and it might be money, it might be power, it could be anything else, but you have been pursuing those things rather than seeking after God. Perhaps today is the day of your salvation, where you look toward Jesus and say, no longer, Jesus, will I pursue after the things of the world. No longer will I find satisfaction in worldly matters, but rather, Jesus, I come before you. Jesus, I come before you in humility. I come before you asking for forgiveness for my sin. I come before you asking, save me, Lord God. And I pray that you will know the presence and power of Jesus Christ in your life. And so I ask, is there one here today? Is there one in this house today that wants to say yes to following Jesus for the first time? To say yes to him and him alone, and to reject the things of the world? Is there one here today that will say yes to following him? If that is you and you know that you want to follow Jesus for the first time, would you get my attention by raising your hand so that I may pray for and with you? Is there one here today that will say yes to following Jesus? Amen. And perhaps there is someone online who wants to say yes to following Jesus. I encourage you, get in contact with us. Use the chat system on however you're watching this. Get in contact with us through email. We would love to pray for and with you. So please make contact with us. But it might also be, friends, that you are genuinely worried. It could be that there is something happening in your life, maybe lots of somethings that are happening in your life, and it does feel as though there is bombarding all the time of these things. Perhaps you are losing sleep over such matters. Perhaps your entire thoughts are being consumed by this matter. It could be a financial issue. Maybe it's something else. Maybe it's about a relationship issue. Maybe it is about a job. Maybe it's about anything else, whatever it is. Maybe there is something that you are worried about. May you today come before Jesus and say, Jesus, I lay this thing, I lay this matter, I lay my concerns at your feet. Help me, Jesus, to find my satisfaction in you and you alone. May we know that all of our needs are met. That yes, of course, we still have to work. Yes, of course, we still need to be sensible with the resources that we have to hand. But if there is any concern that we have, any worry that we have, may we come before Jesus. And so maybe there is someone here in this house, maybe more than one person, who is genuinely worried regarding your future, regarding something that is happening in your life. Right now, during this time of silent moments, may you come before Christ. May you come before Jesus and say, Jesus, I lay this issue at your feet. I lay my concerns at your feet. at the end of the Sermon on the Mount is a parable which I'm sure we know very well. And it is about the wise and foolish builder. The foolish builder builds a house that is just simply on the sand. It's right on the top of the soil. The wise builder builds down onto firm foundation. May we have lives like that. Remembering that old hymn, "On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand." May we know that when we come before Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, who has all things, all matters in his hand, that we know that we are on the solid rock. And may we stand upon him firmly. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this passage of scripture that we have read regarding do not worry. Lord, we know that there are many things that may take our attention. There are many things of the world that may make us concerned, may make us worried, may make us anxious. But Father, would you help us, strengthen us by your Holy Spirit to know that we must come before you. We must come before Jesus, and that we place all of our concerns and worries before him. Father, if there is something where we need wisdom to know how best to deal with the situation, may you give us wisdom. May you help us to know what we are to do may we know what to do. Give us wisdom, Lord God. And I pray, Lord, that in every matter of our life, you would be glorified. Help us, Lord, to fix our eyes upon Jesus in every matter of our life. Anything that may take our concern, Father, help us to fix our eyes upon your Son, Jesus. We pray this in and through the mighty, precious name of Jesus. Amen. Psalm chapter 20. Reading from verse 6. "Now I know that the Lord saves his anointed. He will answer him from his holy heaven with his saving might of his right hand. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will trust in the name of the Lord our God. They collapse and fall, but we will rise and stand upright. O Lord, save the king. And may he answer us when we call." May the Lord bless you.